We begin on Tuesday with the executive suite, where we introduce you to leaders across the federal government and learn what they're doing in their jobs at agencies across the government. James Corbett's director of the Acquisition Management Division at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and my guest today. It's great to see you, James. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. Tell me about your acquisition priorities for 2014 at NRC and how you're moving forward on those.
Okay. Our acquisition priorities are really built off a transformation the agency started a couple of years back. And we were really looking at how we can make acquisition more efficient at the NRC. And October 1, we centralized a number of things. We deployed a brand new system for acquisition that's tied to the financial system. And we also are looking to make strategic sourcing really a center point of a lot of the work we're doing.
Strategic sourcing, obviously, is very popular at the OMB level in government. How are you doing that as far as who you're teaming with and how you're trying to implement that?
Well, we're really focused on, I like to view strategic sourcing really as managing your spend. And the best way, in my mind, to manage your spend is knowing what you buy and why you buy it the way you buy it. So we focus very much not just on the enterprise-wide agreements, but really analyzing our spend. NRC spends the bulk of our money in really three areas: information technology, technical assistance and research, and corporate type things like rent, facilities, those type of things. So we've established councils in each of those areas to really look from a program area what's driving that spend, and then figuring out a managed way to do those purchases.
What do those councils look at? How do they work? How did you choose who's on them? Those kinds of things.
Well, we were very focused on getting individuals from the program offices to lead them. So we have the council, for instance, on technical assistance and research is led by one of the executives in the areas that uses that type of service. So that's what we did with all of those councils.
The councils comprise of how many people? Does it vary by the category?
It varies. Some of the categories are more complex. We take full advantage of creating integrated project teams. So some of the councils have more integrated project teams because there's areas to look at, mm-hmm. like in IT, printers. How much do you spend on printers? Is there a better way to manage that spend? So you have specialists in those areas.
Mm-hmm. And how much latitude do they have in going out and gathering information to come back and present to you about what they find and recommendations, all those kinds of things?
They have a good bit of latitude in doing that kind of research. Once we start moving toward more procurement, developing a procurement strategy, mm-hmm. That's where we bring in more involvement from the acquisition professionals, the contracting officers.
Mm-hmm. That concept is interesting because one of the big disconnects that I keep hearing about on an ongoing basis is the between the end users and the buyers. And it sounds like you're working right past that because you've got the end users involved in this process from the beginning.
Well, we're trying hard not to let the contract drive the program. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure the program drives the contracts. Certainly, there's the federal acquisition regulation and all types of requirements we have before we move toward a contract, if that's what's appropriate. But, you know, again, you don't want to let your analysis from an acquisition perspective restrain the program. We're really trying to be very mission-oriented, really understand the mission, and deliver what the agency needs to get its job done.
When did you start doing those councils?
We started that effort, I believe it was probably close to 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a fairly mature process. Is this a best practice that other people have asked you about? Because it sounds like it's something that could be useful in any agency, any size.
I would think so. We haven't had we work with some other agencies. Phyllis Bauer from the VA was the one who kicked it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's other agencies doing similar things.
Mm-hmm. The impact that this has on the buying process, have you seen that since you've been at this? You've had enough time that I would think that it manifests itself in the kinds of buying decisions that you make.
We certainly have. Information, the training was probably one of the first enterprise-wide approaches we took to acquiring acquisition training.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it much more streamlined. So when you have need to train, and we focus on acquisition professionals, so when you have need to bring in training in-house or send folks to the training, there's already a contract in place So you have to negotiate the terms and do those type of things. But that's the whole purpose, is it streamlines. That's how the agency's using it.
Yeah, there's a term there that you used that everybody in government is thinking about, even if they're not necessarily acquisition folks, and that is acquisition professionals and the workforce that mm-hmm. you have at your agency and at every agency. What would you say the state of the health of your acquisition workforce is right now?
Well, we have a very stable acquisition workforce, a lot of, and I think of the acquisition workforce, and I mean in broad terms. We have the contracting officer representatives that are out in the program offices. We have the contracting officers and contract specialists in my organization. And we've also stood up, as part of the centralization, a business advisory center to help the folks in the program office do their job more effectively. So we have a pretty stable force. Most of those individuals have been involved in acquisition for some time. Our biggest focus is on getting those folks trained with the standardization, the new system, the centralization. I mean, that's really where our priorities are.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to get the kinds of training resources that you need to keep your folks involved, engaged? I keep hearing from people that the training is important, not just for the skills that are involved, but that it's a terrific morale vehicle and that it helps keep a workforce engaged.
Yeah, we got the recent Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. Mm-hmm. I was able to get the Office of Federal Procurement Policy sent out the individual results to the senior procurement executives in mm-hmm. the agency. And that definitely plays out. The folks at NRC, one of the highest areas we were rated in compared to government-wide, was the availability of training.
Mm-hmm.
And we use not only the traditional classroom training, we've also put a focus on bringing in-house certain topics. We have our policy staff does a lot of seminar-type sessions with the acquisition professionals. We've done a real multi-channel. We use a lot of the Federal Acquisition Institute, the Defense Acquisition University online courses.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a full-on press to make sure everyone has the training that they need.
And you kind of anticipated my next question, James. James Corbett of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is my guest. And that is a trend that I'm seeing is that a lot of acquisition training is done differently than it's been done historically. It used to be, you know, 10 years ago, training was primarily one person stands in front of a classroom full of people and mm-hmm. and dispenses the information. And that's not really the way people learn the best, not everybody. And training has changed to reflect that. Sounds like that's playing out at NRC,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and we've even put some emphasis on recording sessions, breaking them apart into modules.
Mm-hmm.
So if people need a refresher, going back to the modules, that's one of the things that we're working on, especially with the contracting officer representatives. Because some of those individuals touch a contract action, some very frequently, some much less frequently. So just sort of as-needed training, on-demand mm-hmm. type training.
That you said your acquisition workforce is stable. Does that mean that you don't need to bring in many new folks, or does that just mean that you're not losing a lot of folks who have been there for a while that have the experience that that you need?
Well, we've had very low attrition. So in general, that's what I mean by stable,
mm-hmm.
very low attrition. We are looking in the coming months to beef up our information technology group. I'm looking to get out a posting for a federal-wide force, at least a specialist or two in information technology. We're also very committed to bringing more veterans on board.
Mm-hmm.
So NRC is one of the agencies that participated in the Vets to Feds program. And we're looking to bring on at an entry level a couple of honorably discharged veterans to serve and learn contracting. Raise them up from...
From the beginning.
From the
beginning. You know, one of the things that I've seen as veterans try to transition into government is that that a lot of them have skills that they're not sure how to demonstrate ways that they could transfer to a civilian job. Have you developed or do you expect to develop a kind of a strategy to go out and look for vets to fit into the acquisition workforce to try to kind of counter that?
Well, we did a posting, fairly traditional posting, targeting veterans
mm-hmm.
and got close to 500 applicants.
Wow.
And we're in the process now of screening that down. We're again, entry level, 7, 9, 11 grade. And we'll be doing interviews and probably in the next coming month or two. We hope to bring the folks on board. Some of the requirements are driven by the Federal Acquisition Council, a certification in contracting. So they do need to have an undergraduate degree or be awfully close to it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have business courses. So we're looking, again, to raise, to bring them up, train them through the cycle.
James Corbett's director of the Acquisition Management Division at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. When we come back, I want to go back and talk a little more about strategic sourcing. This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Be right back. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. James Corbett's director of the Acquisition Management Division at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and my guest in the executive suite today. We talked a little bit at the beginning of our conversation, James, about strategic sourcing, and you referenced it as a way of managing spend. I wonder if we can go back there and you can give me an example of either a way that you are using it or have used it at NRC, and tell me if it's something that you've completed, how the results that you got comported with what you expected to see as you began the process.
Well, we did some early pilots. And we're maturing the process as we move along. We did some early pilots in, as I said earlier, training, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the goal there was as much streamlining and understanding how we could be more efficient and effective with getting the training. One of the big things we're doing now is looking at technical assistance. And technical assistance for the NRC is professionals to support the technical areas, the technical reviews, confirm that what the information we have provides some supplemental information for the regulations and the regulatory activities. That's an area where we do things like environmental reviews, so we need individuals who have skill in environmental reviews, those type of specialties. We're currently spending a lot of time focused on that spend. So we get that spend, we get that those services from commercial companies, small business, and large, from the national labs with Department of Energy, so we do some of that with interagency agreements. And then also we have a federally funded research and development center that NRC uses in Arizona, the Center for Nuclear Waste Regulatory Analysis. So we're looking at how can we best understand the spend, determine which one of those sources are most appropriate for what type of spend, and then be more open, transparent in how we then acquire those services and streamline them.
Do you hear the same kinds of apprehension from some of the commercial vendors, especially small businesses, about strategic sourcing that some of your colleagues do at other agencies?
I do, and we partner very closely with some of those businesses. I've had individual meetings with some of the companies to discuss how they can better understand how NRC chooses to place that particular type of work. Really, I think at least for us, one of the big benefits of strategic sourcing is we really are stepping back and looking at how we're spending,
mm-hmm.
how we intend, and then we're developing the sourcing strategies for those. So there's opportunities to better understand how we place the work. There's better opportunities to develop those procurement strategies that include the small businesses. So I've told them that my view is over time, all the different parties in the process, all the stakeholders will have a much better understanding of where the opportunities are.
Is it your sense that that message is getting through to them, or is there still – there just seems to be so much dissonance around the concept of strategic sourcing that I wonder if the message is getting through to the folks that need to hear it. Because all your acquisition colleagues say the same thing, that if we can step back and look at this – eventually this will kind of – the market will fall out and people won't really see a dramatic shift one way or the other, but it's this time of change in understanding that seems to be challenging for some folks.
Well, I think that some of the vendors that work with NRC, and we have a smaller pool in some ways because the vendors we deal with, especially in the areas I mentioned, in general can't do business with the industry. So if they work for the companies we regulate,
mm-hmm.
then they're in general, they can't do business with us. So it's a smaller pool of companies. Again, I think what they're going to see out of some of these efforts is a much clearer understanding of where the opportunities are. We recently put out a commercial solicitation for one of these enterprise-wide approaches to this work, and there was very good dialogue with the companies that had responded to the solicitation. So we were able to have actually some individual conversations with those companies and better understand how to – we did end up amending the solicitation a few times to take into account some of the input. So, again, I think that as we move through and there's more transparency in the work, there's more opportunity when it can have some impact, there's more opportunity to get involved.
It sounds like that dialogue is really important to you, and that I would think that would be equally meaningful to the people on the other side of that table.
Yeah, the dialogue's critical, because what I'd heard from some of those vendors was it was a mystery how NRC undertake some of these activities. So again, that's what we're trying in these, as we move forward, especially with the strategic sourcing initiatives, to take some of that mystery out. This is the procurement strategy overall for that particular spend area.
Yeah. Is it your sense that there are areas where you could do more when it comes to communicating with industry, and are there areas where you would like to get more input, feedback, comments, whatever, from the vendors that you deal with?
Well, we are very involved in some of the vendor fairs that we have, that our small business program office has. I certainly think that as we better understand where the opportunities are, again, we can be more effective in those areas. They tend to be a broader discussion in the vendor fairs now. Mm-hmm. If we know better our strategy, when the next time the opportunity is, again, I think that will help with those conversations. We're certainly always looking at the whole Mythbusters initiative that the Office of Federal Procurement Policy has to see where there's opportunities for us to do industry days. We're a big fan of, in some of those areas, sources sought. So putting something out that gives the vendors an opportunity to, say that we have the capability, the request for information. We did that with the cloud services at one time to see what the ideas were in the industry. So, again, I think there's always communication opportunities.
If would it be fair for me to say then that you think that the relationship between at least your slice of the government and the slice of industry that you deal with, that relationship is fairly healthy right now? Is that a fair assessment on my part? Because it sounds like the back and forth dialogue is going on pretty regularly.
Again, in some of the areas that we do business, there's a small number of commercial vendors, and they have worked with us over the years. So there's good relationships there just because they've been built over the years. Some of the more common products, the corporate type products, those areas, again, those are commodities. So those really are the process of going out, putting out a solicitation, reviewing the best vendors that come forward. I think in NRC's case, we're lucky in the sense that in some of the most critical areas to the agency, we've had longstanding relationships with a variety of vendors. You know, it's not a sole source. It's you have a variety of vendors interested in working in that area.
I want to shift gears in the few minutes that we have left. We talked about budgets a little bit earlier on, and every agency is experiencing budget challenges of one type or another. Is the budget situation affecting the way that you do your job and the way that NRC goes about acquiring the things that it needs, the services that it needs?
NRC's budget has remained fairly stable. We did have a hit with sequestration last year. This year, I think we have our fairly full budget as far as what we asked for. It, though, is because things continue to get costlier year to year, so you do have to understand how you can stretch your dollars further. I think scarcity in some situations is good. We're very much focused on, again, the centralization, being very efficient with our resources, the sourcing, making sure that we have vehicles that get us the best price and quickly streamline the process. And in general, looking wherever we can to be the most efficient with the money that we have.
What's your vision for the acquisition shop at NRC in the year to 2 to 5 year window? If we sit down and have this conversation 2 years from now, and my first question was, what's changed since the last time we talked? What would you like to, what would you like that answer to be as you look forward?
Well, as I said, we turned acquisition on its head in the last year. We centralized, we put in a brand new system. So really my vision would be in a year from now that the partner offices that we do the acquisition for would agree with the statement that we've done this really well, that we're able to acquire the goods and services they need as efficiently, effectively as possible. I mean, that's really the priority for this year, is ensuring that all those changes go really well.
James, it's great to have you in the studio. Thanks very much for coming in. James Corbett is director of the Acquisition Management Division at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. You can hear my entire conversation with him later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.